You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dave. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, episode number 252. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
And it's been a while, but we're going to jump in and talk some Toronto Maple Leafs hockey. It's the halfway point.
Yes, sir.
So we may do some grading on how the team looks halfway through.
Yeah.
I think we want to take it.
Yeah. Tonight, I think we do a little mid-season Leafs report card. We're not going to go down every single player on the team, but when we get to that, which will be shortly here, we'll just do some grading. Maybe the top six, the bottom six, defense, goaltending, special teams, give our grades on where we think the team is at the just past the halfway mark, basically right now. But a lot of things, man. I mean, anything off the top for you, or do you want me to just go to the debacle on Saturday night first, or anything you want to say first?
No, let's just get into it.
Well, look, how many times? 3-0 loss to Vancouver, okay? Vancouver had been struggling. They were on the second half of a back-to-back. They had just played in Carolina on Friday night, Vancouver, and got beat. And the Leafs were coming off a loss on Thursday night in Carolina, and they got beat. Bad. So, like, I don't know, man. I'm not sure. Like, there was the last two games specifically, Carolina and Vancouver, like, not impressive. Like, that game on Saturday night, Chad, it was over in 30 seconds in. The hockey game was over.
Yeah, it was bullshit.
Not impressive.
Complete bullshit.
How many times have they been shut out this season? I don't know, but it's been a few, right?
Three? Off the top of my head, I would say three.
At least. Compared to...
Not more.
Compared to when Sheldon Keefe was in town. More on him later, because the Devils are rolling in on Thursday. But did they... Like, I don't think they ever got shut out when Sheldon Keefe was the coach. They never got shut out, ever. The streak was like... over like close to 300 games without a shutout when Kiefer was coaching. I don't know. I don't know if that means anything or not. Like, I know the games have been tighter this year with Berube and all that, like preaching defense first and whatever, but I don't know, man. Like, that was just, I guess I'll throw it to you on this. The comments after that Vancouver game. Okay. Like, it wasn't pretty. The game, like I said, game was over 30 seconds into the hockey game. Berube, the head coach, comes out, Tanev comes out, veteran guys. And they're like, yeah, not good enough. Not even close. Nowhere even near good enough. We need to be way better than that. And then here we go. Little Mitch, he comes out. And here he just cannot figure out the fucking media and the fan base. This guy, 9 years in, he still has yet to figure it out. All we want to hear is a little accountability. How about this, Mitch? We stunk. Not good enough. We're going to be much better next game. No. What'd he say? Well, I didn't think we were that bad, really. Like,
I thought we played good.
Yeah, I thought we played good. Okay. Does anybody else in their right mind that watched that hockey game think they played good? What do you want, dude?
No. But it is what it is. I mean, that's the Leafs' fault. Don't let them do press conferences after those games.
Don't let them talk.
After they win, yeah, let Mitch go and talk about how good they played and all the good stuff. But when you lose, just don't let him talk to the media, because we're already fucking pissed off after watching that bullshit against the Vancouver Canucks. And then we got to listen to that. Oh, not too bad. 20 shots on net, 0-for-3 on a fucking atrocious power play.
Not bad.
I thought we were pretty good. I thought we were pretty good later.
And also, coming off of that loss in Carolina, where the top line was -6.
Yeah.
Like, you think you might want to just, like,
We got to be better.
When have you ever heard him say that? Ever?
I've heard him say it, but he doesn't say it enough.
Oh, fuck, dude.
It is. I mean, you're not going to change it. Just don't let him talk.
But that's the
send out the guys who are going to say the right thing.
I just don't think that's the right answer, though. Like, why can't he read it properly? Why can't he read the fan base properly?
I know. You said it, man. It's been 9 years.
So you'd think he'd be like, you know, so you'd think he would have had some type of, like, you know, okay, the fans don't appreciate that kind of effort. You pay a lot of money to go watch those games. And, you know, fuck, I forget about being in the building that night. That would have been a nightmare. But just watching on TV, like, Mitch, what is going through your head? Read it. Be able to read it properly. Like, this guy cannot read the fan base. He can't put his finger on the pulse of, like, they don't appreciate when we do this kind of shit. He's just, it's always just, well, we were pretty good. I thought we were pretty good. Like, whatever. And then
I thought we were okay.
You've got the coach and a veteran like Tanev saying, like, terrible, like, atrocious, like, special teams, all this, blah, blah, blah. Like, need to be way better. They get it. 16, looking for $13 million or whatever he's looking for, and he still can't figure out. I don't know. I'm just like, this, he's never going to get it. Like, he's just not, like, does he wake up in his early 30s and it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess the fans don't appreciate this kind of shit? Or, like, what?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what goes on in his head. I don't know what he's thinking. But I'll tell you this. Like, they should be held accountable because it's Toronto. Like, I know you shouldn't, whatever. There should be a standard if you're playing for Toronto. You said it. Somebody paid a fucking king's ransom to go to that game. Dude. Someone probably took their kid, got a hotel, spending money that they could have went to fucking Disneyland or something. But instead, they're like, oh, let's go see the Leafs play. These guys come out, take a giant shit on the ice in front of their fans. Could care less. Don't care. Don't care. They go away and they're like, well, I thought we played pretty good. Like, it just doesn't register in their head. I actually know someone who went to the game, and he's not a rich guy. He's just a regular working dude. And he said he spent $1,200 on tickets and food and all that stuff to the game for four people. On Saturday. And that's what he got. That's a lot of money. And these guys don't give shit.
Did you talk to him after the game?
Yeah, I talked to him today.
What were his thoughts?
Oh, he was so pissed. He was so pissed. And he's like, it was the first time he brought his son to a game. His son's a big Mitch Marner fan. And he's like, nothing for him to watch. Not one goal for him to cheer for. He almost wanted to leave in the third period. I'm like, I don't blame the kid. I would want to leave in the first period. Take me to the aquarium. Take me somewhere else. Get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is what it is. And Mitch doesn't get it. And you're right. All the fans want to hear is him come out and say, it's not good enough. That's it.
And that's not rocket science. Like, no. Mitch doesn't seem like a dumb dude. Like, figure it out, brother. You've been here so long. Like,
he grew up in Toronto. He knows this team.
So what is he? So why do you think he comes out and just doesn't, like, maybe he thinks in his head, like, well, it wasn't that bad. Like,
that's the thing.
Right. But maybe, so what's going on with him psychologically where he's like, no, that was acceptable. Wasn't that bad. What? Like,
it's that old Shorzy quote, man. You gotta hate to fucking lose.
Yeah. Well.
And I don't know if Mitch hates losing.
Wouldn't that be nice? Well, he's so used to it by now. He probably he's just so used to it. Like, it's like second nature.
I get it. It's January. I get that you're not going to have your A game every night. I get it. But unfortunately, you play in Toronto. People pay a lot of money and they expect you to try. Like, they didn't take a penalty in that game. And you want to know why they didn't take a penalty in that game? Because they weren't fucking in it. If you're at least faking it, you're going to take a penalty. You're going to do something dumb. They weren't in it at all.
No, they weren't. Not even close.
Terrible game. Terrible game.
Yeah, just terrible game. I didn't love the comments, but I'm not surprised in the least. Let's see what happens at the end of April, early May here. Can't wait to hear the excuses there. But fucking accountability, man. It's not. There's certain guys that will accept it and own it. And then there's Mitch, like, out on a pedestal. No, I shouldn't say that because, like, him and Austin kind of two pieces of, and even JT a little bit. At least Nylander will tell you the truth every now and then. But, like, those other three, Tavares was talking last year after they got beat in the first round again about learning lessons. What are you talking about, dude?
I know.
Oh my God. If I hear that again.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway. And Nylander doesn't have much to say because he hasn't done shit. MIA for 3 weeks.
Missing it. What a surprise. We get to the new. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. around the holidays, little dip, right? Just dog days, whatever you want to call it. But no, Nylander has not had it as of late. That is for sure.
Anyway, I don't care. I don't care if you lose to Vancouver. I don't care. Just to wrap it up, I don't care if you lose to Vancouver. I don't care if you get shut out by Vancouver. But fucking try.
Yeah.
Like, for all the people in the building, for all the people at home, on a Saturday night, the whole country's watching, Leaf fans coast to coast, fucking put in an effort. I don't care if you're hungover. I don't give a shit. Just fucking get up and try. That's it. That's all I want. And if you don't, come out and say, didn't do it. Fucked up.
100% agree. All right, let's go here. Halfway point report card for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let's go down the line here and see what we think, see what our grades are. We did not compare before this, so I'll throw out some options and you let me know what you think and I'll let you know what I think. Okay. So let's start at the top. Top six forwards, Chad. What would your grade be on the top six forwards?
Because you just sprung this on me, why don't you go and I'll just bounce off what you give the grade.
Okay, fair. Okay.
Because I didn't even know we were doing this until I haven't even talked to Dale in 2 weeks. He's been MIA himself.
Fair.
So I have no idea what's going on.
Been hanging out with 88 too much, man. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Well, doing something.
Top six forwards for me, B. It's a B. It's a B. They've been okay. They haven't been terrible, but Matthews in and out, Marner carrying the load, Nylander's been good, Tavares has been good. I can't put an A, Nyes as well. Like, there's good things there. Can't give it an A. Just can't. And more on that when I get to the power play, but it's, for me, it's
a B. Are you throwing the power play in?
No, power play separate. Power play separate. We'll get to that in a minute here.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I would agree with that. Although, like, for the first part of the season, they could not get secondary scoring for the life of them. And the top six forwards basically carried them to a record at the top of the division.
Yeah. Well, was it that or was it? We'll get to the other part of the team here shortly. But,
well, they were the only ones scoring. They rely heavily on goaltending. I'll give it a B plus.
Okay, fair. I'm a B, but that's cool. Like, whatever. Bottom six forwards. For me, I know McMahon and Domi and Robertson have come to life as of late to kind of foment a third line. And I've liked some of the fourth line stuff. Dewar and Lorenz, mainly. But the bottom six for me, season as a whole, it's a C. A C. Hard C for me.
Hard C?
Yeah, hard C.
Okay. Yeah, the third line was a scramble at the start of the year. It found itself recently. I think the last couple games, that third line has been one of the only ones working.
Yep.
The fourth line in the Vancouver game was the only line.
Season as a whole
showed up.
Season,
but as I know, I'm going through everything as a whole. I would say the fourth line, I would give a B. And the other one I would give a C. So I'll average that out to a B minus for the bottom six. So I got a B plus and a B minus. I think the Dewar, Kampf, and Lorenz is probably one of the best fourth lines in the league.
Yep, for sure. Reeves will be playing tomorrow night, but we don't need to talk about that.
Even when Reeves comes in, it's still a good fourth line. It's not as good, but
it's definitely not as good with Reeves in there because he hasn't done dick last time I checked. Absolutely nothing for Ryan Reeves, but anyway.
It's across the board.
Brutal, man. Absolutely brutal. But okay, that's fair. Okay, let's go to the back end here. The blue line. The blue line as a whole, all season long for me, like some struggles lately, but as a whole, big picture here, just throughout the first half of the season, I'm going blue line A plus. I've never seen a blue line, specifically Tanev and McCabe, I guess would be the major standouts. Ekman Larson, good off the top, dipped a little as of late. Even the bottom six guys, when like Myers, Timmins, Benoit, in and out. I'm not going to include Morgan Rielly here because I've got a separate thing on Morgan Rielly a little bit later. But the blue line as a whole, Chad, for me, I think has been two thumbs up, A plus for me, blue line. Never seen a blue line like this the entire time I've been watching this team.
Yeah, this is the best blue line that they've had in this era of the Marner Matthews era. I would probably give it an A minus, and only because the defense does not produce anything offensively.
Yeah.
I mean, defensively, they're great. Tanev McCabe, probably the best pair in the NHL when they're together on the ice, the best shutdown pair.
Shutdown.
And then Ekman Larson's been a good surprise. And even the whoever fills in, whether it's Myers or Timmins or Benoit, they've all played good. Riley probably brings you down a little bit because he's having an off season, and they just don't put enough pucks in the net for me to give them an A plus.
Okay.
Yeah. A minus.
More. I'm excluding Riley from the group.
Was a B plus, but every block shot gets a point, and Tanev has knocked them up to an A minus.
Okay. Fair. Totally fair. Goaltending, Stolarz, and Wall. Just that. Not talking Hildeby, not talking Murray, although we will touch on that before we go.
I know what you mean.
But Stolarz and Wall, A plus.
A plus,
without a doubt, man. And you were mentioning, before you give your grade here, you're like, well, like the top six guys were putting the puck in the net. That's why they were winning games. Well, really why they were winning games was because the defense and the goaltending. That's really why they were winning games.
Absolutely.
So it's A plus for me. Stolarz and Wall, absolutely A plus. A plus in net.
Yeah, it's A plus. And I just meant that nobody was scoring but the top six. Yep. But I realized that the defense and the goaltending is why they were winning. It's A plus. I mean, you have two guys here that we were kind of unsure of. Wall coming into the season, you know, kind of getting hurt off right off the bat, and we're a little worried. We're a little scared.
Couldn't play game one.
And we're like, Jesus, what are we getting ourselves into? We didn't know much about Stolarz because his, you know, he hadn't played a whole lot. But then they're both halfway through the season, they're both top five in the league in the NHL. Joseph Wall was leading the league in almost every category for a while there. So yeah, it's A plus. When's the last time we had a tandem like this? Like, you talk about best defense. When's the last time we had a 1-2 punch? I know Stolarz hasn't played in a while, but we've had great goalies like Belfour, Cujo, but they just had backup guys. This is like, I didn't care for a long time. Wall or Stolarz, I don't care who you throw in.
100%. I would say the closest we've seen would be Anderson and McElhinney. They were pretty good. That was a pretty good.
Yeah, but that's not a 1A, 1B. That's a one and a backup.
Yeah, for sure. No, this is the best 1-2 punch I think they've had in net in a very long time. I mean,
yeah, like just quickly, the forwards, we didn't give them great grades, or they're graded lower than the defense and goaltending. But it shows you the difference in the way the general manager built this team, because he built it from the goaltending out, like goaltending and defense first. And like, look at their record. And I'll be perfectly honest, I don't think they've played that great this year.
No.
And they're first place in the Atlantic Division.
Yeah. Well, that I think also has to do with some other teams dipping.
For sure, a big part of it is goaltending and defense.
Yeah, without a doubt. Okay, so here we go. Special teams, okay? So their penalty kill, 83% on the penalty kill. That's third best in the league. Third best in the league. I think behind Washington and possibly Dallas. I'm not. I know they're third in the league. 83%. Killing a lot of penalties, man. I was so high on the blue line before. I got to give the penalty kill A plus. Third in the league, the third best penalty kill in the league. A plus for me on the PK.
When I first saw a picture of Lane Lambert, the guy who's running the penalty kill, I said to myself,
yes,
I don't know if any team will score on this penalty kill.
Because
This guy is a fucking animal.
Yes.
Like, when you saw his picture for the first time, a part of you thought, I think he's been nude on camera before.
Oh, not only that, I thought he was coached on Long Island. I thought he was like in the mafia or doing like some porn behind the scenes or some shit, for sure. Yeah. 100%.
So yeah, I give it an A for sure. The penalty kill. Lane Lambert is an amazing
Third best PK in the league, dude. Think about that. They were never like they would never even sniff the top like 10. No fucking way.
And it's funny. I remember in the summer listening. I'm not going to name it, but I was listening to a podcast and the guy on the podcast is a big Dubas guy. And he was talking about like how the penalty
was that our podcast?
It wasn't our podcast, but he was talking about like losing Kerfoot and like some of these Dubas guys that were always killing penalties and just how it's probably going to be bad for the Leafs.
Yeah.
Didn't really change, did it?
No, like I don't know how much of their PK success has been due to the forwards. Like, sure, Camp and Marner, like they're good penalty killers, whatever. They've had some different guys killing penalties this year. Lorenz, Nyes, different guys. But I think a lot of it is they have a pair. Like if it's McCabe, Tanev, Larson killing penalties, whatever, Benoit. And the goaltending, huge part of it. Huge part of it. So anyway.
PK. And Lane Lambert.
Yeah, and Lane Lambert, obviously. Like, for sure, man. 100%. Okay, so power play. 20% on the power play. 16th best in the league.
Crazy that it's that high.
You think that's high? They're middle of the pack.
When I watch it, it feels like fucking a 30th in the league power
play. Okay, more on the power play in a second here. So I'm going to go with that, like 20% on the power play and the 16th best in the league. That's not cutting it when it comes playoff time. It's just fucking not. I'm giving that a D. I'm giving their power play a D. In fact, I'd like to give it a double D.
I don't blame you.
It's a D, man. Look at that power play. Come on. Come on.
Excuse me. Yeah. With these guys, with the players that you have, with the money that you're paying for this offense to be 16th in the league, and to be that shit. I mean, watch that game Saturday, the Vancouver Canucks. Watch that power play. Like, what is that?
No.
What is that horse shit on the end?
Yep. Nope.
They can't even make a pass. They can't even get a shot on goal. I'm giving it an F.
I wanted to give it an F, but I thought I'd be a little... I wanted to give it an F.
I'm giving it an F because it's failed. It's failing.
What are we... Is it the guys? Is it... Savard, I don't think you can really pin it on Savard because it's just the same old script. I don't think it matters who's running the fucking power play. There's clearly no fresh ideas out there.
Yeah, like, I know. We've had a few people message us just saying like Mark Savard's got to go. I heard people talking on the radio talking about Mark Savard's got to go. He's got to be fired or whatever.
They're not.
I don't know if it's Savard. I think it's personnel, and maybe it's the system that they have to change up, but something's got to change.
Okay, so here's some. So there's the grades. Let us know what you think if you're watching on YouTube, guys. Like down below, were we off on some of these? Were we like in the ballpark? What your thoughts are on kind of how we went through that
grading system? What you can do, since someone gave me this idea, if you have a comment or if you want to give your grade on the Leafs season so far, send us a video or an audio of yourself. Tell us your name, where you're from. You can email it to us at the tipinpodcast@gmail.com or on Facebook and Instagram. You can message us on there. Take a video of yourself. Take an audio of yourself. Send it to us. We'll play it on the podcast. And we'll 100%. Talk about it. Just
100%.
Say, you know, this is Cliff from Oshawa and this is my fucking grade on the team.
Let's take it.
Just 1 minute videos where you just rant for a minute and we'll play them.
Let's take it even a step further than that. Doesn't have to be grades.
No, anything. Give us anything you want.
Give us a hot take. Give us your thoughts on a player, on the team, whatever you want. Give us a hot take. 100% love that idea.
And
we'll play them on the show 100%.
If you can, do it after the game when you've had a few pops. 100%. No, everybody loves a drunk voicemail.
Best time to do it. Absolute best time to do it.
1 minute, minute and a half video or audio. If you don't want to be seen, I get it. I don't like being on camera. If you just want to do the audio, that is perfectly fine. Just record your voice, email it to us, tell us your name and where you're from, and we'll play it on the podcast.
Absolutely, 100%. Okay, so back to the power play here.
Yeah.
Look, just absolute looks like garbage. I think it's way... I don't know what's going on behind the scenes here with Savard, the guys, the personnel they're putting out there, but for me, this is real simple. This is a real simple fix. I think it's real simple.
Okay.
For me, like I'm going to, you look at like Tampa Bay of yesteryears. I know Stamkos is gone there, but Tampa Bay of yesteryears, you put Stamkos on one wall, you put Kucherov on the other wall, and you let them fucking, like, you have obviously the Hedman back there facilitating whatever. We don't have that. And then whoever in front, Point, Hagel, whatever. Like, there's Sorelli, like, there's different guys for Tampa. But for me, it's a real simple fucking fix. Real simple. Don't overthink it. Put Nylander on one wall and stay there. Put Matthews on the other wall and stay there. Get 44 the fuck off of that thing, because he doesn't do anything to help that power play. You put Mitch on the point as the facilitator. Matthew Nyes in front. Matthew Nyes and JT down low. That's it. That is, it's not rocket science here. Nylander on one wall, Matthews on the other, Mitch at the point, Tavares. Yep. And Nyes out front. Is that not the fucking way out of this? Because this Morgan Rielly bullshit, I've had just about enough of this, man. And I'm not blaming him. It's not his fault.
No, but if you're going to play the point on a power play, your job is to either pass, have a booming slap shot, or be able to get a wrist shot through traffic. And he can do none of those things. He can't. He can't make the simple passes. He doesn't have a big slap shot, and he hits a person or a shin pad every time he tries to take a wrist shot. So I agree with you, and I like the Nylander and Matthews on the sides, because get a fucking shot on net.
They have the two best shots on the fucking team.
Yeah, just shoot it at net and then let the scramble happen and go with it. And I would be okay if it wasn't Marner on there. If you split it up and you had one guy in front of the net, Marner facilitating along the sides, and put Ekman Larson back there if you wanted a defenseman.
Okay.
Because I know that there's that talk where you can't have five forwards on the ice.
Well, this team can, though.
And they can, yeah. And I think Marner, he is your... They don't pass very well on the power play, and no. He is the team's best passer by far. Head and shoulders better than everybody.
Do you know who they had playing front net presence on Saturday night on the power play?
Yeah.
Matthews.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of fucking sense, right? The guy that's got a fucking crippled back injury, let's fire him in front of the fucking net to get cross-checked all fucking night long. That makes a ton of fucking sense.
But I think they're doing that because they want, like, he's so good in tight with his hands. That's what she said. He's so good in tight with his hands.
He's getting plowed. He's getting plowed.
I know,
he's fucking plowed.
It's not great. And he does have a wicked shot too.
To me, him in front of the net is not, it's not the right call. They're like, Nyes is better and JT is better. They're better fits down there.
Yeah. Whatever. Let Nyes take the beating out front and have JT in the bumper position just up.
So
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Totally. But either way, it's just something's got to change. Like, and if you want, break it into two. Put Matthews and Marner on one, put Nylander and JT and Nyes on another. I don't know. Break it into, do something though, because I can't watch it anymore.
Just going back to the Tampa Bay thing. Quickly, like, they would put Stamkos on one wall and Kucherov on the other, and they just fucking left them there. That was it. They didn't even move.
Ovechkin has scored like 400 goals in the exact same fucking spot for 20 years.
Right. So, like, there's recipes that work. So why the fuck don't the Leafs, like, just, here we go. Here's our two best shots. You stay here. You stay here. Yeah. We'll get you the puck. If not, we'll get it to the fucking net, and JT and Nyes can fucking bang it in. Like, it's not rocket science. I don't know what they're doing. I don't understand it. I don't know.
It is the laziest, slowest power play I've ever seen. They don't move. They don't move the puck. They don't get shots through. I don't, like, what is happening out there?
I don't know.
Now, anyway, the more I talk about it, maybe Savard does need to hang it up.
It's just not going to happen, though. It's just not going to happen. But I don't think he's bringing fresh ideas that are I literally just threw out an idea that, like, let's try that Tuesday night and see if that fucking works. Like, try something fucking different. That's all I'm really saying. Try something different. And, like, I'm going back to Tampa again because it worked. How good was their fucking power play? Two Stanley Cups in a row. The power play was cooking in the playoffs for Tampa when they won their two fucking cups in a row.
And you said it, man. You said it. You can't go into the playoffs like this. You can't go into a Saturday night against Vancouver like this. You cannot go into the playoffs. Look how important special teams were in that Boston series. That was a big reason why they lost last year.
Of course.
You cannot do it. You're going to go in. You could face the Habs or Columbus or something in a wild card spot and lose because you can't score a fucking power play.
100%. If they go in with the 16th best power play in the league, they're dead. They're fucking dead. That's it. Like, done. couple quick things at rapid fire and we'll get out of here. I just wanted to give a shout out to Matthew Nyes. It looks like he's going to be bumped off the top line tomorrow night against Dallas and play with JT and Willie. And Lorenz is going to get a shot up with Matthews and Nylander. I wanted to say Matthew Nyes first in the league with 5 tip-ins. So, yeah.
So we went from having no tip-ins all year to having the guy with the most tip-ins in the league on our team.
Yes. Oh. Leads the league in tip-ins, Matthew Nyes, with 5. So very impressive. So very impressive.
We should have known. Again, first time I saw a picture of Matthew Nyes, I thought, okay, this guy knows a tip-in.
I know. Did you ever see the picture? I should have inserted it here, but you ever seen the picture of him when he's like in college where he's got like 3 chicks' hands on his cock?
No.
You've never seen that picture? He's at a party and he's hanging out with like 3 hot blonde chicks and they've all got their hands on his package.
Oh, I got it here.
It's a beautiful picture. Beautiful picture. Anyway, are you going to try to throw it up or no?
Yeah,
people have probably seen it, but
I'll just throw it up quick.
It's a great picture. It is just absolutely incredible stuff. There it is. Look at it. Look at like 3 smoking hot blondes around him. Just
look at his face.
Oh yeah.
And the caption is woohoo.
This guy, eh? Oh, love it. Absolutely love it. Love that.
Awesome.
Anyway, shout out to him leading the league in tip-ins with 5. Okay, quickly. Wall, Hildeby, Murray. The Murray thing didn't last very long, eh? Hildeby gets, like, he goes back to the Marlies. Hildeby gets called up. Quickly, thoughts on that?
The way Hildeby's playing, I don't care if you bring Matt Murray back up.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make a difference, right?
No, I don't think either one is, like, blowing me away.
No, we're just waiting for Stolarz. That's
just waiting for Stolarz and hoping Wall doesn't get hurt. That's it.
I don't think you're going to get, like, whether it's Hildeby or whether it's Murray, I don't think you're going to get... You're going to get the same. I think you're going to get the same at this point.
And let's face it. It doesn't matter who the fuck you put in net. If the team in front plays like they did Saturday night.
Yeah.
I don't care. You're going to lose most of those games.
Yeah. Wall would have lost that game.
Yeah.
100%.
But they had that 5-game win streak before the loss. And I would say 3 out of 5 of those games without Wall, they don't fucking win them. Like the one Philly game, they had one shot in the first 15 minutes. And then finally, they're like, all right, let's get going. And they still were tied because of Joseph Wall. That's not a recipe, man. You can't do that.
No, you're 100% right, man. So, okay, McCabe looked like he suffered a concussion last week. He's skating. He's not practicing with the team, but he hit his head on the ice is what it looked like after that fight, right? But he's skating, but not like he's skating on his own before the team. He's not taking part in practice yet. No update on a time frame on his return, but man, do they miss him or what? Like he misses a couple games and they look like fucking shit, right? So
the defense gets all out of whack.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully
Riley Tan, if that lasted long.
Okay. So hopefully McCabe makes it back soon. It looks like he's okay. Like he's skating, obviously. I think he will be he might miss this week, but might see him sometime next week, whatever. But Morgan Riley quickly.
I don't know about that, but.
Oh, you don't think that? You don't think that?
I don't know. He had the head injury at the start of the year, and then he had this one. And fucking all season, it's been 1 week, 2 weeks, 2 months.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Until I see McCabe back at practice, not in a non-contact jersey.
Yep.
We'll see.
Hackenpah took part in full practice today, so.
He's getting ready to be the captain of the Team Finland in the Four Nations.
For sure. Anyway, okay, couple quick things before we go. Morgan Riley, I know we talked about him earlier, but I wanted to single him out because I've just been so not impressed with this guy, Chad. I don't know what's going on here. Like, what do you think it is? Like, the puck mover that he used to be, the offensive threat that he used to be just isn't there. My thoughts on this was, look, tree living at the trade deadline, like I was thinking like a Luke Shen type or like Radko Gudas type or like somebody like that, which I still would be in favor of. But now I'm starting to think like they're not getting any fucking offense from their back end. Maybe Tree Living should start looking for a fucking puck mover and a guy that can create some offense from the back end because of like, what the fuck, Morgan Riley? Like, you have to know what I'm talking about here. Like, what is going on with this guy? How has he dipped? Like, just, oh, dude. Like,
he's definitely dipped this season, points-wise.
Last season, not the best either.
I don't think, like, Morgan Riley's ever really been that great defensively.
No.
And it's always been a reoccurring theme, right? Who's going to play with Riley? And you try him with this guy. Like, we bring in Tyson Barrie. You bring in all these people. Like, let's put him with Riley. Put him with Riley. Never works. Maybe it's Riley. Like, maybe Riley just isn't as good as the Leafs thought he was.
That's right. It's
and that's him. Not a slag. That's no. not like
no.
Putting him down or anything. But maybe you sign him to a big contract as if he was a 1A. And maybe he's like a second pairing guy.
You look at who's the defenseman, was it Quinn Hughes in Vancouver, the captain?
Oh,
wouldn't it be nice to have one of like that guy is a fucking rock star, man. But like, I know those guys I know those guys are few and far between. Makar, Hughes, and Vancouver. Yeah, like
they're like upper echelon of.
I get it. Like, I get it. But like, we just don't have anything remotely close to that, man. And Riley, it's just like, he's not even like. It's not even close. Like, he does not do what he needs to be doing offensively. Like, he just looks like, how many times do you really notice him? How many times do you really notice him in a game in a positive way?
Oh, really? Not a lot. Not a lot. I notice him a lot. It's simple things that, like, he used to be able to do. It used to be sort of his bread and butter, like his skating, his stick handling, his passing used to kind of be what he was. And now it's like, he doesn't look as quick. He throws pucks into skates all the time.
It's terrible in his own end.
I'm like, how can you be a number one defenseman? You can't even hit a fucking stick breaking out of your zone.
He's not there. There's so many teams that he would not be a number one defenseman on. But
oh, yeah.
I don't know. So anyway, I don't think
he's the number one defenseman on this team.
No, like, I don't want to shit on him, but it's so noticeable. The digression. Is that the right word in his play?
Regression,
in his play, that it's just like, dude, this guy, like, he had the big playoff series against Tampa when they won a couple years ago, but
and that is something I love about Morgan
is heart. That he's got heart, he plays exactly. heart,
and he's going to give it in the playoffs, he's going to give it everything because we complain about not having enough of that, so you're right. Going to get that.
He does have heart. He does, like, he'll stand up for the team. I do appreciate that about him. I'm not saying let's ship him out here. No. I'm saying is, like, instead of maybe looking for that extra, like, Luke Shen type, maybe Tree might want to go for more of, like, a upgrade on Riley, like, puck mover. I'm not sure who that is, but
I don't know. Remember when Phil Kessel was here and we kept pushing him because we were paying him and we didn't have anybody and we were like, Phil's one of the best in the league. He's one of the best in the league. Well, he really wasn't one of the best in the league. We were just making him that. And then as soon as he got away from that and he got to play on a team with Crosby and Malkin and just be a guy.
Yeah.
He was lights out. He was unreal.
Third line.
And Morgan Riley might be that. We might be pushing him to be a number one defenseman when in all honesty, maybe he's just not a stud.
$7.5 million for like what? Another 6 years.
Right.
That's tough.
Happens all the time. Guys get paid to be something that they're not. And that just might be what happened to Morgan Riley. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that Morgan Riley turns us around and just kills it for the second half of the season and goes in and has an amazing playoffs. But so far, going from last season and into this one, he hasn't been that.
There's no way we can have another 6 years of Morgan Riley at $7.5 million playing the way he's playing now. Tree Living, he might have to eat some of it in the summer, but there's no way. Like, if this is what we're going to get, and we'll see, playoffs, whatever, like, we'll see what happens. But if this is what we're looking at here, you got to seriously consider moving off of this guy.
Yeah. I'll ask you just a quick question before we go. All right. Think of any other team. Like, let's take Tampa, for example. And I were to say to you, you need 1 minute left in the game. You're up by one. Game 7 of the playoffs. Is Hedman on the ice?
Say that again.
If you're Tampa Bay and you got 1 minute left in a game 7 and you're up by a goal and you need
to protect 100%.
Is Hedman on the ice?
100%.
Same situation. You're the Toronto coach. Is zero Riley chance. On the ice?
Zero. No chance. No.
So
zero.
To me, I'm like, that's, I know he's not a defensive defenseman.
No.
But if he's your stud, you think you would look to him to be the guy to get the puck out. But on, in all honesty, you're probably like, I'd rather Tanev on the ice.
100. It would be McCabe and Tanev. That's it. 100%. 100%. And I don't even think Riley would be the second guy up. It would
that's
probably
what I'm
be
like in Colorado, they probably don't think twice. It's Makar. Makar is on the ice if they need that guy. Of Riley's course. Not there. He's, no, not, he's not in that. He's not in that same sentence, that same breath. Anyway,
he's lost.
Anything else?
One last thing.
Okay.
Quarter pound Poppy or Big McDavid? You've seen the McDonald's commercials with them ripping it around, talking about, what is it called? The quarter pound Poppy and the Big Mac, the Big McDavid?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny shit.
The
right?
Big Mac. They're doing, remember there was the Larry Bird and Michael Jordan in the 90s?
Oh, yeah. Those? Well, dude, even the Leafs did, like, it was Gretzky and Sundin did a McDonald's commercial.
Oh, that's right. I remembered that.
They were like off the rafters, off the crossbar, like
that's
this.
Right.
Type of shit,
I just,
right?
When I saw it, that was the first thing I thought of was the Bird and George, because those commercials were legendary when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
Legendary. Yeah.
Anyway, quarter, I think that's what it's called, Quarter Pound Poppy and the Big McDavid. Probably getting a pretty penny from the old McDonald's.
There you
cash
go.
Cash flow, eh, for those guys. But
here's some quick trivia for you. Did you know that A&W came out with McDonald's had the quarter pounder, so the A&W came out with the third pounder, a one-third pounder, and it was cheaper than the quarter pounder, but it sold less, and it was a bomb because people thought one-third was less than a quarter.
I did not know that.
A quarter pounder is on the sign, right? It says one-fourth.
Yeah.
The other one said 1/3. And because 4 is bigger than 3, people thought it was less meat. So they didn't purchase it. And it was a complete bomb for A&W. Anyway,
did not know that.
Don't forget to send us some videos or audio and we'll play them on the podcast. We're going to do a new segment, hopefully, where we can just let you guys rant and we'll talk about it. Follow us on YouTube at Tippett Maple Leafs Podcast. Leave a comment, hit subscribe, hit like, all that stuff. Email us if you want to send those videos to tippinpodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Facebook and Instagram, Tippett Maple Leafs Podcast. You can message us there. Our DMs are open to anybody. All right. And until next time, I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
We will.
Guys, we're thinking about starting this Saturday, Hockey Day in Canada. We're thinking about doing live stream watch-alongs for the Saturday night games. Let us know if you would be interested in that. Just come on, watch the game live, have a little conversation, but probably just start with Saturdays and see how it goes. We're thinking about it. We're throwing it around right now. Let us know if you'd be interested in that. Anyway, Dallas in town on Tuesday. Sheldon Keefe makes his return to Toronto on Thursday night with the New Jersey Devils. Can't wait to see how there's some tough matchups this week, man. The Habs have been cooking. They play the Habs. Dallas on Tuesday, New Jersey on Thursday. The Habs have been rocking on Saturday, and they play them on Saturday.
Over under, someone prints off a huge picture of him standing in front of his lake from his goodbye video.
Over under, like one person?
Yeah, like one person.
Oh, yeah, sure. 100%. Over for sure. 100%. Anyway, guys, it's going to be a big week. Every game is going to be like big test this week. So we'll see.
This is a huge week. Even the Habs rolling in, been one of the hottest teams in the league.
They're just rolling, man. So it's going to be a big week to see what happens here for the Leafs. But thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. Go Leafs, go. Catch you later.
You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs Podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dave.